Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kelsey Nixon, and this is Kitchen Prescription, the podcast you listen to when you don't know what to make for dinner. This is episode 52, five things I use nearly every time I cook. All right. Hello, you guys. I hope you've all had a fantastic week and that you're settling into this fall season nicely. Just this morning, I found myself feeling, I don't know, like grateful that I feel like now that we're a few weeks into the school year and my kids are having an easier time with school drop-offs, they really seem to be finding their rhythm with their teachers and their friends at school. It just feels like we're settling into a bit of a routine, and I just love it. I'm just grateful that we've gotten there, because it seems like anytime we start a new routine or we have a big shift in routine, there is definitely a couple of weeks where things feel a little shaky, and it's been feeling really good lately, and I'm just happy about that. I think another thing that's been helping me feel like we're more or less in the swing of things around here is the fact that I am making regular dinners, and that was not so much the case in the summer. I was doing my best, but it really feels like we're kind of getting into like a ritual of family dinner. And the fall five ingredient meal plan has really been so helpful. I don't think I've cooked a single recipe this month that's required more than a handful of ingredients. For whatever reason, I don't care who you are, what your skill level is, when you hear five ingredients, you just feel like, I've got this, I can do this. And so having an entire month's worth of five ingredient recipes has been so helpful. They all live in Recipe Club, and it's been really fun to hear from so many of you how much you're enjoying the lineup as well as you transition into more of a schedule versus those summer months. The other thing that's been kind of fun is seeing how many of you are cooking the recipe of the week with us. So each week we're featuring a recipe from Recipe Club, and if you cook and share or send us an image of that recipe, then you're entered to an Amazon gift card. And we're doing it for about 6 weeks now, and it's been so fun to see people get really excited about it. And it's like, I love seeing the same people do it every week. It's almost like they're developing this habit of, I'm going to try one new recipe every week. And, you know, hopefully it's some fun motivation for a few of you to get dinner on the table. Okay, speaking of the number five, today I want to discuss the five things I almost always use when I cook just about anything in the kitchen. But first, we're going to run through a few simple recipes you could throw on your meal plan if you're stuck trying to decide what to make for dinner this week. Lucky for you, they're all five ingredients, because that's my life right now. So the first recipe is this Mississippi pot roast. And I first learned about this recipe when I was working with Food Network. I was working in the test kitchens. We were testing recipes for an upcoming season of my show, Kelsey's Essentials. And someone from the South had said, oh, have you ever made Mississippi pot roast? And I was like, well, what? I have never heard that. So I think it's this traditional mixture of ingredients that is so simple to throw in a slow cooker or a crock pot or an instant pot, and it tastes so good. So good. So I can't wait for you guys to make it. I made it when I was visiting my sister-in-law, Betsy, a couple weeks ago. She had a big Sunday dinner and all these people were there and we had to feed a ton of people and everyone loved it. It was actually really fun. We played this game of trying to guess what the ingredients were, but no one got them all right. It was really fun. It's got a jar of pepperoncinis in it. It's got some onions. It's got a ranch seasoning packet, which I don't use a ton, but every now and then for a 5-ingredient recipe, especially something like this, that flavor goes a long way. So check that out, you guys. It's a really, really great pot roast recipe, especially as we're heading into fall and looking for more of those comfort food recipes. Harvest grain bowls. Okay, this is a copycat of my favorite bowl at Sweet Green. Now, some of you may know Sweet Green, some of you may not. It's one of my favorite fast casual restaurants. They make really good salads and bowls. And so I took some of the components that I love most about my harvest bowl and put it in this harvest grain bowl, but just the 5 most important. So there's some sweet potatoes, there's some farro, there's some apples. It's so, so, so yummy. And also, on all of these 5-ingredient recipes, we do 5 core ingredients where the recipe can totally stand on its own, but we also include some optional extras. I call it 5-ingredient fancy. And so, like in this recipe, some of the extras are the goat cheese and some chopped pistachios. So we give you a little bit more than the 5 if you feel like you can handle 7 ingredients that day, but if you've only got 5 in you, we got you covered. So, harvest grain bowls, I'm very excited to eat those. And then the third recipe is orange chicken and broccoli bowls. Now, this was an effort to kind of amp up a recipe of Trader Joe's most popular product ever, their frozen orange chicken. Now, you could use any orange chicken, but the Trader Joe's orange chicken is pretty darn good. And so I've added just a few more ingredients to this fan favorite to make it feel a little bit more like a meal, a few more fresh things in there, and it's really good. My kids love this one. So that's it. Those are 3 things that are going on our meal plan for the week with the Mississippi pot roast, the harvest grain bowls, and the orange chicken and broccoli bowls. You can find all of the recipes in Recipe Club individually or in our weekly meal plan where we've got a guide with easily printable shopping lists and recipes. It's really helpful. So let's jump into the back half of the podcast now and discuss those things that I use nearly every single time I cook. Every time I head to the kitchen to make a meal, I can almost guarantee that there are certain items that I am going to reach for. They're like foundational to my kitchen, and if you took them away, I would seriously be lost. None of them are super fancy. In fact, they're all pretty basic, but I thought it might be helpful or a good idea to go over these lifesavers in the kitchen and take some time to like take an inventory on the basics that you have on hand to make sure you're making things as easy as possible for yourself in the kitchen. So we're gonna run through these and I want you to just to go like have a mental checklist in your head, be like, all right, do I have that? What kind of shape is it in? Would this make my life easier if I, you know, either invested in something new or I, got something in tip-top shape? So first is not going to be a surprise to you, a knife. Chances are, if I'm cooking dinner, I'm cutting something. Owning a sharp knife that feels comfortable in your hand can make a world of difference. Now, story time. One of my first jobs out of college and culinary school was teaching knife skills classes at a store called Sur La Table. I'm sure many of you have heard of Sur La Table. It's like a Williams-Sonoma. It's lovely. It's such a nice experience. And many of their stores have a teaching kitchen. Not only did we make delicious recipes together, like French onion soup after we'd sliced all the onions, or oh my gosh, we made this most insane chopped Cobb salad that you just chopped everything. So you got all sorts of practice. It was just fun to have like a teaching element, educating people what was and what wasn't necessarily that important when it came to owning and using a knife. So here's my best advice. You want to focus on having a sharp knife that feels good in your hand versus some super fancy brand. Now, if you want a fancy brand knife and it feels good in your hand and it's sharp, great. What I don't suggest is prioritizing a fancy brand and having it be dull and be way too big or small and like unwieldy. So taking a knife skills class is actually a great idea to see what feels good in your hand. And that's one of the reasons that we taught so many of these classes, because many people were coming in thinking, okay, I want to invest in a good knife, a knife that's going to last me many, many years. But it's not one size fits all for knives. And a lot of that has to do with size and stature and honestly just what feels comfortable. So like, for example, a big guy that's, you know, 6'3" and has huge hands is going to come in and he's going to want a 10 or 12 inch chef's knife. That's what's going to feel most comfortable in his hands, likely with some weight to it. Whereas someone like me, who's like 5 feet tall on a good day and has got teeny tiny hands, I would never want to cook with a knife that had a 12 inch blade or a 10 inch blade. I prefer a 5-inch blade or a 7.5-inch blade. I like a really small knife because that's what feels best in my hand. So you want, if you have knives right now that just don't feel comfortable, and if they don't feel comfortable, it's probably one of two reasons. Either it's just so dull that every time you use it, you feel like you have to muster all the strength in your arm to get through a vegetable, or it feels almost unsafe. And trust me, as someone who's cut themselves many times over the years, you would much rather be cut with a sharp knife than a dull knife. So it's honestly not very safe to have a dull knife. So if you've got, let's say you got an awesome Wusthof knife 5 years ago, but it's just dull now. Don't go buy a new knife. Just get it sharpened. Now, this is a very common question I get. How should I sharpen my knives? One of two options. Take your knives into a store like Sur La Table or Williams-Sonoma. They will sharpen them for you. Typically, it's $1 an inch. So if you've got a 5-inch blade, it's $5. You could also take them to hardware stores. Hardware stores do it all the time. If you live in a big city, you might actually find someone who specifically does cutlery sharpening. But I also have found an electric sharpener that I really, really like. And it has been so nice to not even have to make those trips 2 or 3 times a year to get my knife sharpened when I have this at home. So I'll be sure to link that. And if you've got a good knife and it just needs to be sharpened, it might be worth investing in something like this. I'm telling you guys, having a sharp knife makes cooking easier. It just does. It just does. And if you've never had a good knife and you don't know where to start, think about going into a store and chopping something. Like, they really should let you use a knife before you buy it. I know for me, global knives are really popular with women because they're really lightweight. I prefer a Wusthof knife. I like a Santoku knife that has kind of the divots on the side. It makes the veggies slide off the blade a little easier. A lot of people like Japanese knives. Like, you could do a shoe. Honestly, if you invest in a knife, it's going to be fine. But I just can't emphasize enough. It's got to feel comfortable in your hand. Make sure it's the right size. So when it comes to a knife, keep those suggestions in mind. Second, a cutting board. Now, my advice here is to get a good big cutting board. I'm convinced too many of you out there are using cutting boards that are way too small. And I want you to think about this. Let's say you're prepping a chili, right? And you got to chop the onions and the carrots, and maybe you're throwing some celery in there as well. And all of a sudden that board gets really full, really quick. It's much harder to cut things when you don't have enough space. So I like getting a board that's at least 13x7-ish. I happen to have a favorite brand, Epicurean. The reason I like Epicurean is because they are very lightweight, but I find them to be incredibly durable and they can go in the dishwasher. They are a wood composite board, which I like, as opposed to a plastic board or a gel board. There are beautiful, like, booze boards, which are the big, thick wooden boards, but the trouble with those is they can be more cumbersome to clean and store. So if you're looking for something that is a little easier to handle, take a look at that Epicurean brand. If you prefer more of a plastic filling board, like a softer board, Material Kitchen has some boards I really like. And then OXO also sells a plastic board I like. I actually use an OXO board like that for all of my protein. So anytime I'm cutting any raw protein, I have one specific cutting board for that. Pull it out, toss it in the dishwasher. And I only cut raw protein on that board. And that's kind of a nice hack to differentiate what I'm cooking something fresh on and something that's raw. All right, so that's what I have to say about cutting boards. Get a bigger one. Oh, and I gotta say one more thing. If you live in a house where you're still pulling out those flimsy plastic cutting boards that you could wave in the wind, you know what I'm talking about. They're really, really flimsy. Just get rid of those. You don't need that. You are better than that. That's what kids get at IKEA when they're going to college. You deserve a substantial cutting board. Your cutting board should not slip slide around on your cooking surface, on your countertop. You should be able to either throw a wet paper towel, or I like the cutting boards that have little feet on them so they're not slipping around. But don't use one, especially after you've put it in the dishwasher and it starts to curl up on the sides. No, throw those away. You're better than that. All right, third, a salt cellar. So this is the first of my stovetop set. So I want you to think of your stovetop where you do a lot of your cooking. It's almost like a little gold oval dish, and I keep these essentials on that dish so that they are all within arm's reach when I am cooking anything on the stovetop. Salt cellar is number one. Love my kosher salt. I like to keep it in a little pinch bowl so that I can add a pinch of salt here and a pinch of salt there. I don't particularly love using like a spice grinder for salt. I like it for pepper, which we'll get to, but I like a pinch bowl for salt. Something I learned in culinary school. I think it's a much easier way to control the flavor and the level of salt in your recipes. I'll say it till the day I die. I think kosher salt is the bee's knees when it comes to an everyday all-purpose cooking salt. I think that would instantly elevate your cooking. Next to my salt cellar, which is just my little bowl with salt in it, is my spice grinder. So I love this for just a traditional cracked black pepper. And we talked about this last week on the podcast, but I'm telling you, basic seasoning, salt and pepper, basic seasoning, especially kosher salt and cracked black pepper, goes a long way, a long way. In fact, in most high-end kitchens, those fancy schmancy restaurants you go to, they don't have much more than kosher salt and cracked black pepper. Like when you go get an awesome steak at a steakhouse, you know what they're using? Salt, pepper, butter. That's it. If you're just going to use those primary seasoning ingredients, make sure they're the right ones. I think I called out my sister last week. I'm going to have to call her out again. She does not have a spice grinder. And every time I go, I got to pull out the black pepper from her spice cabinet and sprinkle it. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. So get yourself a spice grinder. Okay, fifth, finally, an oil dispenser. So I have a set that came as two, and in one of the dispensers, it's glass. They're both glass. I have olive oil, and the other one I have avocado oil. Both, they're really pretty. They come with these labels, and they sit right next to my salt and pepper. And I am using olive or avocado oil for almost anything. What's the difference? Well, anytime I'm cooking on high heat, like we just made pot stickers, like a super high heat, I'm going to use avocado oil, the same I would use like a vegetable or a canola oil, because it has a higher smoke point. So anytime I'm doing that, stir fries, or I want to sear something and get it really, really hot, I'm using avocado oil. Almost everything else I use olive oil for, and that's most of the time. So that's really nice to have there. The reason I don't just pour them straight out of their containers is lots of times I buy those things in bulk. So I'm buying my olive oil in a huge container. I buy the Kirkland olive oil from Costco. And that thing, it's just way too big to have on my countertop. And every time I need a tablespoon of olive oil, I don't want to have to open my cabinet and pull that whole thing down. So that's why it's nice to have those dispensers. And I think it makes the cooking process go a lot smoother when you have those. Another thing, I just want to give a shout out. I also use an oil sprayer. So there is a brand, EVO, and I love these things. My mom gifted me one for Christmas one year, and you put olive oil into basically a spray bottle, and it is so great for like if I'm roasting vegetables and I want a nice even coating of oil to crisp up those vegetables. Love it. Love it so much. So that also sits on my stovetop setup with my olive oil dispenser, my avocado dispenser, my salt, and my pepper, and then I got my sprayer. So that's it, you guys. So simple. A good knife, a good cutting board, some good salt, pepper, and some olive oil. If you don't have those things easily accessible in your kitchen, do yourself a favor and prioritize that this week. I'll be sharing on Instagram kind of how I set up my stovetop situation, so everything's just within arm's reach. And I just, like I said, it's going to make cooking so much easier if you've got all of those things easily accessible. All right, That's it for today. I want to wish you well as you tackle this next week and hopefully get a few dinners on the table. Remember to cook along with us in Recipe of the Week. And because I love you podcast listeners so much, I got to tell someone, and I just can't wait. We have a product launch coming up in about a month that I cannot wait. It is an incredible tool for the kitchen that is going to majorly simplify your life when it comes to getting weeknight dinner on the table. So stick around with me the next couple of weeks. My lips have been sealed, but after about a year of development, I just got the final sample a few days ago, and I can barely contain my excitement. It's going to be so, so, so exciting. All right. Thanks so much for being here, you guys. And until next week, I'm Kelsey. See you next time.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
See new things, try new things, go back centuries while living in the moment, forge new paths while discovering old ones, pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at avalonwaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.